Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Phoenix Suns back at home playing the Cleveland Cavaliers, the third seed in the West, or the Eastern Conference, mind you. Team that's at full strength. They got Donovan Mitchell back. I mean, obviously, this is a team we played a few weeks ago. No Donovan Mitchell, no Evan Mobley, no Max Strus. They were all back tonight. Didn't matter. The Suns looked good tonight. They still had some hiccups at the start of the third and the fourth quarter, but ultimately had no issue dispatching the Cleveland Cavaliers, earning their second consecutive win. And as we talk about this massive gauntlet that they're going through, their final 10 games of the season, through the first four, they're 3-1. Matthew, I'm afraid to get my hopes up, so I'll just focus on one game at a time. Tonight was a good night. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I just like, team match, dude. Like the guy on the guitar, he's just like, he's like, I've waited my whole life for this. It's like, hallelujah.
Yeah, that was the mass where I could never stop laughing. 6 o'clock
on Sundays, homie.
I had the hardest time not laughing. I remember my head down the whole time, just because we weren't like, music like that at church.
So deep and like I grew up going to like the Latin mass where the priest had his back to you. It was old school, and he was just like, "Oh, Spiritu Santo," you know. And then all of a sudden, he's just like, "Oh God, I'm trying to think of one of the other songs." It's like I sing them around my house all the time now.
Glory God in the highest, yes, and place in the people on earth, or whatever. Glory God, heavenly King. I know all the
Hosanna in the highest. Like you throw a little at the end, and it's just like, oh man, that guy's talented. He got all of the Catholic girls at 6 o'clock, all the, you know, like 13-year-olds are like, he's dreamy.
Yeah, that was the goal.
That was the goal, man. Play the guitar for the teen life mass.
And that's what Booker did tonight, right? Got the 13-year-olds going, man. Everyone, even me. That guy's dreamy.
Oh, you're like, wow. So, Mike in the chat, you Catholic boys rock.
Hell yeah, dude.
Those guys rock. I'll tell you something that rocks. Remind me to tell you something that rocks at the end of this podcast.
Okay.
I'll do my best.
Can I set a timer?
Please do. That'd be nice. If all of a sudden it's like,
Siri, set a timer for
John rocking
45 minutes. Okay.
Perfect. Well, plenty to talk. Thanks, Siri.
She didn't even get it. So I just won't forget.
All right. Well, maybe one of the jamsters will be like, I want to rock. But welcome to the Suns Jam Session Podcast. Obviously, we're in a better mood considering that the Suns, who played the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight, won 122-101. Again, as I mentioned at the front end of the pod, two games in a row, three out of their last four against extremely tough competition that they've had to face. Obviously, you know, a lot more of a challenge that lies ahead, but you can only go one game at a time right now. And the game that we just experienced was a solid game on both ends of the floor. So we're going to talk about that as well as a lot of other things right here on Suns Jam Session. So make sure you, if you like to, if you're feeling the Holy Spirit, go ahead and hit that smash that like button in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make sure that you go ahead and subscribe, rate, review. You can read my writing at brightsideofthe.com of the Sun. And this is when the Holy Spirit's like, oh, okay, you little blasphemy bastard. I'm going to fuck up all your words tonight and in your spirit. But you can follow me at Darth Voida on Twitter. You can follow Matthew.
We'll see.
He's at the teen mass at St. Teresa's at 6 p.m. on Sunday nights.
Teresa.
Yeah, that's where I grew up going for the most part. St. Teresa, St. Thomas.
Let me guess if it makes sense. Mother Teresa. Go home, love your family. That's where that came from.
That's true. That is. Yeah. That was a different Teresa. That's Mother Teresa. I went to St. Teresa's.
Oh, there's two of them?
There's like 30 of them, I'm sure.
Okay.
And then St. Thomas the Apostle, which I actually had a shout out to St. Thomas the Apostle in one of my recent pieces on Brightside. I was talking about, I said, the ceiling of the Phoenix Suns is higher than the ceilings inside of St. Thomas the Apostle on 24th Street in Campbell. And nobody commented. What church did you grow up going to?
St. Mary's.
St. Mary's
Chandler, right next to Elmer's Tacos.
There you go. Not in the Chandler, because everyone thinks St. Mary's. They're like, oh, yeah, downtown Phoenix. No, St. Mary's Chandler. So,
yeah.
On that note, I think we need to pop open the blood of Christ or some wine. But I only got Wow Wheat from Four Peaks. So I'm going to pop this open. Matthew, are you drinking some wine tonight? Wednesday night?
No. I'm sorry, man. Not like last Wednesday, no.
Motherfucker.
I know.
Pray for him, Jamsters. Pray for him. Yes, Mike, I see you in the chat. You say Mother Teresa is a saint, and that is correct. Mother Teresa is a saint, but St. Teresa's was not named after Mother Teresa. It was named after St. Teresa of somewhere in Europe. But the Suns win tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers, which, of course, brings me to my first question.
Oi, Matty. Mate, I've got to ask.
Matthew, before the game began, Frank Vogel stated to the media that for the remainder of the season, Bradley Beal is going to be the point guard of the Phoenix Suns. My question for you, isn't that what they said before the season began?
Yeah, that was a thing, right? And you can kind of see it tonight that they definitely put the emphasis on that. I mean, my response to that is that's fine. I don't really buy into what's said. We talk about this all the time with Frank Vogel and what he says before and after games. I don't buy too much into it. Let's see how the game goes. I think it's great to have Beal play that position just because the way that Kevin Durant and Devin Booker played tonight and the way they shot lights out, you want those guys to kind of be headlining your shooting. I think right now Beal is struggling because of an injury to his finger. So that might be an issue. So yeah, have him focus on passing the ball, dude. He's been doing a really good job at it, I feel like.
And she said, you're not the only one, but you're the best, Bradley. Boom, boom.
It's somewhat facetiously, because again, at the front end of the season, that was the reports around the Phoenix Suns, because everybody was asking, well, who's the point guard going to be? It's got to be a traditional point guard, yada, yada, yada. And that is what the Suns had stated. We talked about it at Media Day with Frank Vogel. He was saying the same thing. He's just like, hey, you know, he's going to work on distribution, things of that nature. We're going to go ahead and focus with and move forward with him as the point guard. But obviously, as time has progressed throughout this season, it hasn't necessarily been a point guard by point guard by committee, because it's been facilitator by committee. And Bradley Beal, and this is something that I talked about ad nauseum on the last podcast with Suns Geek, and both he and I were kind of expressing a little bit of our frustration relative to price for value paid. And Bradley Beal's your highest paid player, Pied Piper. Peter Piper Pizza is a pizza people pick. But he is your highest paid player on the Phoenix Suns at $47 million this year. Next year with the Devin Booker, Supermax, all that fun stuff, that changes. And so at times you have some expectations that he's going to give you more than he did in the last game, which was 13 points. And then you look at tonight, his final total ends up being 7 points on 3 of 9 shooting, 1 of 3 from beyond the arc. But he has the 7 assists. He has the 6 total rebounds. He does have just 1 turnover, and he does have the 2 steals. And I think that that's important for Beal, is he does give you some of that athleticism, that ability to steal the ball and to disrupt opposing offensive schemes. As well as, you know, there's the one play in which the Suns turned it over and he turned the ball right back over, diving out of bounds while throwing the ball to Devin Booker for an easy lay-in. Like those little momentum plays that he possesses. So if we take a step back, and I take a step back after I was thinking about it, after doing the pod with Suns Geek last time, you know, I was like, you know what? I don't know why I was a little cranky. And, you know, Aussie Suns fans, I don't know if you're watching, but I was getting a little cranky at you in the chat about it.
That's the love part.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, this is how you do a fucking podcast, okay, man? Like, we fucking, you know, but it's one of those things where, again, this is a reactionary podcast. Welcome to the Suns Jam Session, okay? We go live after every single Suns game. We are fans. You know, although we write for Bright Side of the Sun and you would, you know, kind of quote unquote label us as sport writers, we're not necessarily sports writers. It's a fan site. It's a fan blog site. And we're reactionary. We live with our emotions, and especially going live after a game, you're going to talk about some of the things that are the pros and the cons. And I feel like it's been a con at times when Bradley Beal operates in the capacity that he has or has been asked to do. But then you mentioned a key point there, Matthew. He said, well, yeah, his shooting's a little down. You know, he did injure his finger, like he dislocated his ring finger. So you got to understand that there's going to be ways that he can affect the game positively without necessarily being somebody who's a primary scorer. And that plays into what he does best with this team, is not being the primary, not even necessarily being the secondary, having the ability to be the secondary if need be and called upon, but being the tertiary and sometimes focused a little bit more on the playmaking aspect of basketball versus the scoring aspect of basketball. You go back prior to tonight, his last seven games, 10.7 points per game, shooting 43%, shooting 45% from beyond the arc. So these are good numbers, but it's the seven assists that I really like to see. The more facilitation we get from him, the better. And here's why. Because if you have Bradley Beal facilitating and being the person who's trying to set up the offense, and here's what I noticed too. He's not even trying to set up the offense. It's Booker bringing the ball up almost every time. But as they start to get into their offensive sets, which I might add is nice to see, because we did see a lot of offensive sets tonight versus kind of freelance isolation possessions, the ball ends up in Beal's hands. The goal isn't necessarily, at least in my perception, to have Beal facilitate the offense, but it is to have him touch the ball on a possession, because when that happens, good thing happens. Great things happen. If he touches the paint, great things happen. But the more that he can facilitate and touch the ball in a possession, it's going to open up Devin Booker in the capacity that we need him to do so, and that's an off-ball two guy.
Big Dick Booker.
Which obviously brings me to Big Dick Booker, who goes 13 of 25 from the field tonight, 5 of 9 from beyond the arc, 9 of 9 from the free throw line. He has 8 assists, mind you, but he has 40 points. He drops a 40 with John Calipari sitting front row right there in the footprint center. Another beautiful game from Devin Booker. So based on everything I said with Devin Booker, with Bradley Beal, the cohesion that you're starting to see, and again, we say everything and we preface everything with a mood of tentativeness because we've known the peaks and valleys that El Valle has navigated this season. But what do you see from the backcourt from the Phoenix Suns, Matthew?
I feel like it's almost there. I feel like there had to be something said to where Booker's like, because Booker's gone up another level the last two games, including this game. And there had to have been something said between the two where it's like, I'm going to have to step up in this kind of way where I'm going to be more aggressive offensively with my shot. Beal, though, on the other hand, it's like you can go two different ways if you want. You can say like, okay, he's not taking the shots because it's going to be Booker and KD for the most part, or he's just is hurt with his finger because his shot percentage is down. He's not taking as many shots. And every time he does take a shot, you can already hear him in frustration after liftoff. He's just like, fuck, dude, that's off. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't have that confidence in it. So seeing him sitting on the bench at the end of this game and kind of just looking out, drifting away, you know, he doesn't look like he's having the best time winning these games. I think he's very frustrated in his play right now, shooting. I know he can move the ball around. He could be the facilitator, but does he want to be? I don't know if he really has an option right now with how well the Suns have been playing with him, taking a step back. But I think he just knows that he could be doing more, and he can. But he's playing good enough right now for the Suns to get wins. And you just hope by the end of the season, he's going to play even better and get those shots off to where they are actually going in. And he has those little sprees where he can get 11 or 12 points in a row like Devin Booker can or Kevin Durant can, because he can still do that. It's not like, oh, you're a facilitator. Nope. No shooting the ball for you. Like he just knows something's off. He's not going to take the shots. But yeah, you can see like the pep and the step in Booker the last couple games, including tonight, where he just has that shot. He has that rhythm. He has basically the mojo on the court. And he's definitely heading in a way where he's more of a leader on the court too. You can see him talking to guys even in this game, taking blame. I think the Suns were up by 28 points. There was a missed defensive assignment by him. He had a couple of them in the second quarter. And he's just like, oh, my bad. Taking blame, talking to Royce O'Neal, even on the bench. After Royce, he throws the ball over to Royce above the three-point line. It gets its turnover. They go the other way. But that's Booker's fault too. But he talks to Royce about it. Like, you can kind of see that. It's just like a different kind of book. It's kind of like, okay, well, the eight games left in the game, I guess he's going to turn it on in both ways, mentally and obviously on the court, just being more physical. But it's just a different type of book. And this is the guy to lead us, right? And I don't think, like, when I'm looking at Beal, when I'm looking at Beal and I'm thinking, like, dude, is he going to be okay taking a step back? I really don't think the frustration is about him taking a step back. I really do think it's about his play and just not being able to get the shot off. So if anybody was worried about that, because that's one thing I was worried about, I don't think there's really anything there. I think this team is really hitting it at the right time, and he soon will come along, Beal, that is, with his shot.
Agreed. And, you know, a night like tonight where he goes 3 of 9, he ends 5 of 9. And those two extra buckets are something that stop a run from the opposing team or add to a run for the Suns. And the cohesion that's beginning to occur, I think, is a definition of roles that we're finally kind of seeing. And obviously this and the reason is because, like, these past two games, like, have been really good for the Suns, in my opinion. They've played really, really well. Like, yeah, the New Orleans game, they kind of started to blow the lead in the fourth quarter, got down to 7, but they dominated that whole game. They dominated this whole game. Before they the Denver game, they dominated that game. You know, yeah, they unfortunately had a bad game against Oklahoma City because Oklahoma City came out and I think kind of caught them by surprise almost. And that's, again, a frustration that we've had. It's like, well, how are you being caught by surprise? But my Atlanta, to see Devin Booker begin to lock in. And that's what we're witnessing, Jamsters. Right now, it's Devin Booker, these last 10 games, it's almost like he wanted to get to these last 10 games because he knew that this is the time for iron to sharpen iron. And if there's one thing we know about Devin Booker, unless it's a game 7 in the postseason, he performs extremely well in the big games, in the big postseason games. Devin Booker is a guy who you can count on, a guy who steps up to the plate, doesn't shy away. There's no James Harden gene in Devin Booker. He doesn't have the funky shoes that James Harden's wearing. No, he's wearing them D-Books, rocking the Havens tonight that are debuting and going to be available for sale of this upcoming weekend. And he has that attitude and that leadership that we need and we've been talking about for quite some time. Who's going to step up and lead with the way that they perform? Not necessarily with the quotes, and we will attribute what Bradley Beal has said as a form of leadership, but the best form of leadership not only occurs on the offensive end, it occurs on the defensive end. And that's where I was really impressed with Devin Booker tonight. His rotations, his closeouts, his communication, and as you mentioned, Matthew, his accountability on games and or on plays in which he found himself in the wrong position and allowing an easy bucket for the Cavs. He sat there and he took accountability. It wasn't like a point at you and be like, where were you? He's just like, hey, my bad, carry on. Because his hustle was there on defense. And that's what we need, and that's what we've been questioning and desiring for quite some time, especially during this run between about mid-January to about mid-March, where it's just there's a lackadaisicalness. And that's what the dog days of the NBA are, right? Games like 50 to 75 are just like, yo, we just got to get to the home stretch. And based on where we're at, we're really going to start to lock in. We're seeing that from Devin.
Yeah, and even tonight, you can kind of feel like the energy wasn't always there in the second half. But I think that has a lot to do with just you're playing the Cavs, you're killing them. And we all worry about the fourth quarter and them giving up those leads. It went down to like 13 points and we're still worried. But for the most part, it was such a great game. But I think fans now, it's so weird because we always want this team to play a full perfect 48 minutes.
And no such thing.
But tonight they had some lapses, but there just wasn't a whole lot of energy either. Cause one, you're playing the Cavs, boring as shit. I hate the fucking jerseys, all that stuff. They come here, it's like, eh, do you want to go see the Cavs really? Like, you know what I mean? As a fan, not for me or anything. As a fan, do you want to go see them? I guess. I don't know. Mitchell, he's hurt. He's not hurt. He sucks. Garland kind of sucks now. Like, that team's kind of falling apart. So it's a boring kind of game to kind of finish. Now these kind of games, like, you take over, you get that 28-point lead, and you want them to finish it. They will. It's just you got to get to the end of it. You're sitting there just like, this fucking – hurry up. Let's get to the playoffs. Now everyone just can't wait for the playoffs. already a six seed. That happened so quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, well, New Orleans lost to the Magic tonight. So that's why that game against New Orleans on Monday was so valuable, because it put us within a game of them. Knowing we play them again on Sunday at 3 p.m. Arizona start, which I might not be present for the podcast on that one, which has to do with something rocking. So we'll get to that. But, whoa. Yeah. If you like, to those who listen to the podcast, the sounds you must hear in the background of where Matthew lives is just insane.
Tooting up a storm.
You guys don't even realize that Matthew, all he has is a ring light and he's in a cardboard box out there on Chandler Boulevard.
Yep.
You know, and he's like, it's literally just traffic behind him at all times. You know, but again, like Pete.
Oh, wait, I can't hear you. Are you on mute or something? Oh, no, I can't. I can't hear you all of a sudden. I don't know if the Jams is going to hear you or not. Did it? Oh, it's not working. Oh, his mic went out.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I like brushed up against my mic cord and I can hear it kind of go.
So sensitive, huh?
It's the same mic I've used since episode one.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I left that one in Texas, and that's why I have this one. Otherwise, I have the same shit. Equipment manager phone. We got it. Only here, Lizzie. We're on it.
Thank you, equipment manager. That's what you're here for, man.
He's
not an equipment manager. Here, he's not a basketball equipment manager. He's like an equipment manager for a production company, you know, audio visual stuff. So, but again, just closing out the point on Devin Booker's 40-point performance tonight. Locked in. Leading this team appropriately and taking on that alpha role that all the KD people hate whenever we say that he's taking on the alpha role. So let's talk about Kevin Durant, because he had a good game today too.
Who the heck are you?
Yeah, I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. Y'all know who I am.
Did anybody see a sniper? Did anybody see anything?
I'm one of the best players to ever play a game.
Now again, saying that Booker took on the alpha role, which he did by scoring 40 points, isn't to say that Kevin Durant can't take on the alpha role. He took on the secondary role tonight, and that's exactly how, if this team functions properly, it's how it's supposed to be. He had 32 points tonight, so they combined for 72 points. He was 13 of 23, so he had a higher shooting percentage than Devin Booker because they both made 13 field goals. The difference, Booker got to the line more, and he made a couple more threes because Kevin Durant was 3 of 7 from the field. He had 7 assists. So he had 7. Bradley Beal had 7. Booker had 8. And he had 6 rebounds as well. Did have the 4 turnovers, some of them bad as per usual. And he also had a steal. I think that this game, this team functions in its best form when you have Devin Booker playing alpha guy, going and seeking his shot and getting to his spots. When Kevin Durant can play off of that, not having to run a lot of isolation, and when Bradley Beal's kind of picking up the pieces in between, setting both Durant and Booker up, allowing them to function in the roles that they excel in best from an offensive standpoint. Again, I go back to the defensive standpoint. He is the best defender that we have on this team. Didn't have any blocks tonight, but definitely was down there messing with Evan Mobley. Great. The way he was moving his hips tonight is something that I noticed, is he was moving his hips in an effort to provide that good lateral quickness that was shutting off some of those drives, because the Cleveland Cavaliers, when you have Darius Garland and you have Donovan Mitchell, they want to drive. They want to try to force the issue on the interior. The other side of this, I'll talk about Kevin Durant, then I'll get to the other side of this.
Yeah, Kevin Durant, you know, actually, tonight was kind of different, because I feel like he kind of was struggling in the beginning of the game, but he was really working himself in there, kind of stretching, and kind of just towards the end of the game, or even towards the end of the first quarter, he started to heat up. And it was just because he was like trying to work it so hard. And then by the time he got to his spots, he was like so stretched out, and just like he's like, all right, now I'm in a groove, right? It was kind of hard to watch at first, but he got into it. To start the third quarter, he was kind of just looking for the calls. He didn't get the calls. Then they called that one call that was actually an offensive foul, but it was a defensive foul they called on him. So I'm like, oh no, he's going to start to struggle because he's looking for the calls. But no, he just like, he had the 7 points in the third quarter, the 8 points in the fourth quarter. So it was like so evenly spread.
Yes.
I feel like he was just really hitting the shots when we needed it. It was kind of like when the Cavs were getting down to 13 points, he would hit the big three. He would hit the big shot. constantly this game. So that was him, dude. He was Mr. Big Shot in this game, which you always talk about. He's a run stopper, right? That's exactly what he did tonight, I feel like.
That's his MO all season. They start to put a run on you, he's going to stop it. And that's one thing that was interesting about this game that you mentioned a little bit earlier, where we allowed some runs. The third quarter, the Cleveland Cavaliers started 8 of 8 from the field. They had, what, a 9-0 run to start the fourth quarter? And it was Kevin Durant who both times was kind of like, okay, let me just settle everything down. And all it takes is that one basket. And all of a sudden that 13-point lead becomes 15 or 6. And you're like, okay, everything's going to be okay. We can hit shots again. So Kevin butt plugged Durant, stopping him up. That's what he needs to do. And he performed very well again tonight. One thing I was thinking about when I was watching this game and mentioning the fact that this is a team that likes to attack, right? The Cleveland Cavaliers like to seek out contact because they're a team that likes to get to the line. And if you look at the way that they play tonight and the way that they've been playing for, you know, the back half of this season, it's got to be a struggle for them, right? Because this is a team that is seeking out that contact that no longer is providing whistles in their favor, right? So the All-Star break was, you know, like the 20th or the 18th was the All-Star game. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Praise be to the Lord. They've attempted as a team 19.8 free throw attempts per game since the All-Star break. Prior to the All-Star break, this was a team that was averaging almost 21. So they're getting a lot less calls on a long enough timeline, and it's got to be something that frustrates them. And again, they're a team that's starting to fall apart at the back end of the season, and I'm sure that that's a factor.
Yeah, it is. And I think a lot of it has to do with Mitchell missing a lot of time, mm-hmm. of course, the last month. So him being out and then Garland trying to have to take on that leadership role, which, you know, he is younger, so maybe he can develop into that. Because you saw signs at the beginning of the year of Garland really being that guy as your guard who can lead a team to a long playoff run, I feel like. But now kind of falling apart. But then also you have the Donovan Mitchell thing where it's like, is he going to be re-signed or whatever? The extension, is he going to be gone next year? All that shit. So there's a lot of stuff like twirling around there and along to go along with the physical play that they're looking for, because Garland does the same thing. He'll get to the hole, try to draw contact. Mitchell will do that too. But then Mitchell will also, he'll try to shoot you into the game. You know what I mean? But then he'll start missing those big shots where the team was moving the ball and stuff. And then he'll just miss a couple in a row. And then the team just kind of falls from there. So it's a weird team to look at. Like right in the pregame, I was like, just like the Suns, you don't know who this team is or what they're doing, but they've had a really tough stretch, man. The last month, so worse than the Suns for sure. I can't hear you again. Is it that cord, dude?
No, I muted myself.
I didn't even see that.
I muted myself because I'm drinking beer, so I'm burping. And the Jamsters don't pay good money. You don't pay good money to listen and watch me burp. If you're watching, you watch me burp, but you don't. I don't want you to hear it. This is rude. Stephanie Tanner, how rude. I wouldn't want to do that to you. But Donovan Mitchell tonight, 24 total points on 8 of 17 shooting. And as you mentioned, he's 2 of 7 from beyond the arc. So he tries to shoot his team back into it. And he's a player who definitely can do that. That's one of his strongest attributes as a player. But overall, when you watch this team, tell me you didn't feel like you were just watching a team like the Phoenix Suns. Because the way that they were turning the ball over. Now, granted, the Suns had more turnovers than the Cavaliers in this game. They had 16. The Cavs had 15. Okay, but the Suns had 25 points off turnovers, whereas they only had 19. But they were making the same dumb type of turnovers that the Suns do, where Mitchell's dribbling the ball and he just dribbles it right to the defender, right? Like they do a cross-court pass and it's just instantly picked off. There's, you know what I saw tonight, Matthew, that has been more rare this season than like a Pikachu Illustrator card? I saw a run-out fast break where Kevin Durant was wide open, just kind of caught the ball and dunked. Like, you never see that for the Suns.
Never seen that. Nope. When that happened, I was like, when's the last time that happened? I think it caught the fans by surprise. Like, what? Like, oh, like right when he dunked it. Like, they weren't even like standing up, seeing him sprint down the court, beating the Cavs back on defense.
Like, so far. Like, we just don't do that as a team. Never. But it's because, it happens to us all the time, right? It's because we make stupid fucking turnovers. Yeah. And they were making the stupid fucking turnovers tonight. And I thought that, again, I wrote it in my notes. I was like, holy shit, a fast break where like there was no contest on it because KD got so far ahead. He looked like Randy Moss in 2008, you know, just like well, how the hell did he get so far behind the competition? And that's because we were playing a team that is very Suns-esque in trying to identify who they are. They're the third seed currently in the Eastern Conference, and that fan base, as I'm sure you'll talk about in the subreddit Stakeout, is probably losing their fucking shit.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Like, if you just go to Basketball Reference and look at their last month of games, you're like, how are they in the third place? Oh, it's because it's the East. Because the East just fucking sucks.
Well, they went on that 19-0 run, remember?
Huh?
None of sun.
They just don't feel good enough to play basketball, I guess.
They won like 19 in a row in January and February when they're playing subpar competition. I mean, credit to them. They did what they were supposed to do. They beat subpar competition, something that the Suns have had a challenge with, right? But at the same time, now that the time to come to iron sharp and iron for the Cleveland Cavaliers has arrived, they're struggling, whereas the Suns are starting to excel a little bit. And it's a lot of different people are chipping in. One guy who chipped in tonight that we have to talk about.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Thought I clicked.
Yeah, bling bling bling. Rolls Royce, Rolls Royce, Rolls Royce, yeah, nigga, Rolls Royce.
Grayson Allen didn't get a start tonight. He sat. What is this, like the fourth, sixth?
I don't know, man.
I think he's played, 69 games this season. So this would make like the sixth game that he's missed. He hasn't missed a whole bunch. So Royce O'Neal gets the start tonight, and it's almost as if we had Grayson Allen out there because he goes 6 of 9. Oh, my God, 69 again from the field, and 5 of 7 from beyond the arc. He has 17 points. He has 9 total rebounds, a couple assists, a steal, a great performance by Royce O'Neal with the starting five. And I know it's recency bias, and I know it's reactionary, but the question becomes, do you start him over Grayson Allen simply because he brings a defensive aspect that Grayson doesn't possess? Or is it too late in the season? You just fucking roll with it.
Can I reach in there and just like slap you, dude? Like,
love discipline.
Oh my goodness. I cannot believe you went there. I thought you were going to say, should we start Bol Bol? I'm just joking.
Oh, we'll get to Bol Bol.
Yeah, like, come on, just throw him in there, man. Look at his stats tonight. No, I know. But the one thing that's really cool, I'm not going to start Royce over Allen. If I'm Frank Vogel, I'm not going to do it. But what's really cool is once Royce is in there and Grayson's out, I don't worry about it. I'm like, oh, we got the perfect filler, because what the Suns do to in order to win these games, the best thing to win the games is really have one of these guys go off. And also you can have the team limited turnovers. So when you have those two things, you're going to win a game. But also, like, they're not as replaceable, but it's like Royce and Allen, when they're hot, they're unstoppable. I think Eric Gordon comes in third, obviously, because he can fall off so far sometimes in games or just down stretches of games where he just is kind of invincible. But those two guys just can show off. I think if you start either one of them, I'm happy with it. But like you said, I think it's way too late in the season to be switching things around. And I'm sure Grayson Allen thought the same thing. He's like, great, I didn't play tonight and we won the game. So is it me? It's like, no, it's not you at all. But we just have a perfect guy to fill your spot.
And that's what's nice about it. And hopefully when he slots back into the appropriate, you know, when Grayson Allen comes back, it's a question, you know, people are going to ask because of the way that he performed offensively and because of the defensive acumen that he brings. It's something that you have to wonder, and we'll see. I don't think so. I agree with you. You don't do it. But a great performance by Royce. The one thing I will say about Royce O'Neal, when he's out there with the first team unit, though, when he passes the ball, I'm scared as shit that he's going to turn the ball over. He got some passes like cross court. He'll penetrate a little bit, and then he'll dish it across court to KD. And it's like the defender's hand comes like this and just misses it. And then KD, you know, hits a three and whatnot. But
well, he hits right in then. Yeah. The rest of the guys.
Yeah, he's
he gets right in.
Like, dude, we all turn the ball over. Okay.
You got
like,
shit. Okay. Yeah. Come on and start with us.
Yeah. It's like if you're going to throw it away, you got to be with the starting five with us. So, real quick, I want to give a couple shout outs to some of the super chats that we've received from the Suns Jamsters. Truly appreciate it. Joel Weldon Smith gives us $5, says, don't lose faith in the Suns. And RIP Joe Flaherty. Joe Flaherty, yeah, jackass. From
And Happy Gilmore. And he was, first I thought Joe Flaherty was just a ref. And I thought he was saying, and rip Joe Flaherty.
Let's rip Joe Flaherty.
So I looked him up. I'm like, oh my God, that's the guy from one of my favorite movies. It's Follow That Bird. Follow That Bird is Big Bird leaves town and he gets lost and he lives with the dodos and he's one of the captures. He goes with, I don't know who he was with. He captures Big Bird and they try to sell him to a circus or something like that. So one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life. If you haven't checked it out, go buy it on VHS. It's well worth it.
Yes. And then buy a VHS player and then buy
$300.
and then buy one of those cords that plugs in, the red, the yellow and the white that goes in the back of the TV, the aux and whatnot. So you have sound, you have visual and you have like the third one. And then of course, Biscuits and the Bear, $21 donated to the Suns Jam Session Podcast. Thank you ever so much. You make my heart full. Says, what a great game all around. Some runs happened, but the Suns counter with their own back in the playoffs. Amen. That sixth seed feels nice for today, and we should enjoy it for the day because who knows? Tomorrow, it could be gone. And that'll be how I open the next podcast, is singing like, tomorrow, I love ya, bull, bull.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's
bull, bull. Bull, you bitch. Bull tonight, man. 22 minutes played. He had 15 points, 5 of 8 from the field, including 3 of 4 from beyond the arc. Got the footprint center going wild. Also had 6 total rebounds, had an assist, couple steals, couple block shots. Matthew, were you bullgasming all over your cardboard box located out there on Chandler Avenue?
I was. Time for a new box.
You can donate a box to Matthew by super chats,
or you can give me your Vogel One boxes, you and Suns Geek, and I can just combine them and cover my stomach with them. At least I don't know. I think that's I think you have them right there, ready to go.
Ready to go. I got my Vogel Ones right here, yeah, baby.
Those are beautiful, dude. Great show yesterday. Loved it. I was making some food for today and laughing my ass off, dude. Almost burnt my hand a couple times. It was so hilarious. You know what? Bull's awesome, dude. He played 22 minutes tonight. Yeah. And I didn't even look, but I'm pretty sure it's been a while since he played 22 minutes. And I know that there was some garbage time, but he came in, and probably due to Grayson Allen being out, like he came in earlier than normal. He ended the first quarter, looked good next to Eubanks, was passing the ball. Like he, for some reason, has the ball still to really miss a few shots in a row and then still jack up another shot. He does that all the time. Like he'll shoot 20 possessions in a row. He won't give a fuck, man. He's going to jack that shot off. And I never, as much as I love Bol Bol, I never am confident in him making those shots. And then they go in and I'm still not confident the next one, but I love it. That's just the way it is. But yeah, great game tonight, dude.
It was much needed for Bol. He's somebody who, you know, last time we saw a quality game from him is when we played the Spurs and we pounded the Spurs into submission. He had 13 points in that game. He was a plus 25 in that game, being 4 of 5 from the field and 2 of 2 from deep. But after that, he had 0 points in that loss to the Spurs. He had 8 points in the Denver game, which was valuable, plus the 5 rebounds, 0 points against OKC, 0 points against the New Orleans Pelicans. So didn't see much playing time there. The last time he had over 22 minutes played was the 29th of February. So it only happens every 4 years in a leap year. The 29th of February, in which he had 25 minutes played against Houston. So having him come out and perform in the manner that he did, the thing you got to understand about Bol Bol is when we play at home, he's the guy who's going to be great at home. In fact, that'd be something really interesting to look at, is his splits this season on home games versus away games. So at home, he is averaging 6 points with 3.4 rebounds, and he's shooting 70% true shooting percentage, 35% from beyond the arc. On the road, he's averaging 4.7 points, and he's shooting 57% from beyond the arc. Holy shit. Way to go, Bull Bull, baby. So he's just lethal whenever you want to play him. So, again, an X factor. When we start talking about the playoffs, Bull Bull is absolutely going to be an X factor. If he can survive defensively and know that he could potentially be the pigeon on the defensive end for opposing teams, if he can survive those minutes and he can provide some stability, his offensive production and what he brings from a rebounding and just adding secondary possessions, hitting those three pointers, those are, it's absolutely huge to have a guy who can consistently come off the bench and give you 10 points. I can't understate how, like, 10 points is a lot coming off the bench. Only guy to score in double figures coming off the bench for the Suns tonight. They did have 25 bench points, and Bol Bol had 15 of them, man.
Yeah, and it's that quick too. As soon as he comes in, it'll be like 5 minutes later, and then he already has the 10 or 11 points, and you kind of forget about Booker already having a great first quarter, or even Kevin Durant having a good first half. Like, it goes out the window. When this guy's on the floor, he makes you forget. But yeah, he had the 2 blocks tonight and the 2 steals. He had the awesome steal. It really got the ball back. Those long arms, dude. And you can hear it from the fans too. The reason that they cheer so much is because of how he can tip the ball, how he can reach the ball in certain situations. It's amazing to watch live.
It's a sight to see, indeed. And what he brought tonight is an improvement on the defensive end. And I think what really helped Phoenix in this game was the way that they set the tone defensively. Swarming, if you will, is the best way to describe their defense. And it's something that has been inconsistent throughout the season, something that we've seen flashes of here and there, and you go, God, they're capable of it. Why don't they do it more often? Like, they have the athletes. You have guys who are such natural scorers that offense is going to come easy. Focus some of your energy on the defensive end. Hold an opposing team that's the third seed in the Eastern Conference to 101 points, and good things will happen, because good defense leads to easy offense. And that's what we saw from them tonight. They were forcing the Cavs into tough situations. They were boxing out appropriately. They were just communicating on defense. I really liked what I've seen over the past two games from the Suns when it comes to being a defensive-minded team. Is it sustainable? We don't know yet. Again, I preface everything that I say. It's like, I hope, if this is what the direction where we're headed, I hope. But it was good to see. Yeah. Need to see these things as we approach the playoffs, or, you know, you're booking your plane ticket to Tempe.
Yeah. In the last two games, like, you really had to think about what you wanted to see heading into these two games. And this is what I wanted to see. It's exactly it. The only thing is, there's a little lapses, but you're going to have that no matter what game you play in. There's going to be those lapses where you're going to give up at least a 10-0 run, 12-0 run once in a while. It's going to happen. The only thing is Beal getting his shot back, staying healthy with Grayson Allen coming back,
yep,
and then Bol Bol getting consistent minutes like this. Those are the things I want to see. And honestly, I don't know. What else do you want to see in the two games?
It's exactly what you want to see. You want to see good, solid basketball, knowing that there is no such thing as a perfect game. Opposing teams in the NBA, they're going to put runs on you. It's how you respond, how you stop them. And so to see that from Phoenix tonight, absolutely fantastic. Reading that stat, that the last time that he went over 22 minutes was on the 29th of February, right? A date that happens once every 4 years. Do you remember February 29th, 2020?
Nope.
I could tell you who the Suns played.
Spurs?
Nope. They played and lost to a shitty Warriors team.
Okay.
Do you know why I remember that?
No. What happened?
Where did we watch that game?
Marley's? I'm not joking.
No.
2020,
February 29th.
Where did we watch the game?
Oh, just a disappointing
something for once in your life.
A disappointing loss to what? The Warriors.
Where? Who? Why?
We watched it at, is it Gallagher's? Is that the name of the place? Is that
Gallagher's?
Ring a bell over there on 32nd Street and Broadway? Ringing kind a bell? Of. Ringing a
was
bell?
Was I there?
Yeah, you, me, Adam, my brother, we went golfing all day. Then we went and we're like, yo, let's just find a local bar to watch the Suns game.
Was the game on? I don't remember the game being on.
And then we went to one bar and it was a bad game, or it was a bar that didn't have a place to watch it. So we went down there and we sat there and we watched the Suns lose. And then we walked out to my truck and it had been broken into and they'd stolen my golf clubs. Yeah. February 29th, 2020. And then like the world ended 2 weeks later. So
I was going to say that's pre podcast for sure.
No, we were that. No, the podcast existed.
Oh, did we just do like the weekend ones where we did three?
That's when we were doing the weekend ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we weren't doing post game ones at that time.
Yeah, okay. Because
I
do remember talking about it then. Okay.
There you go. I'm glad everyone got to experience that. And you got to experience Cleveland tonight, didn't you?
I did.
Gross. The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout. So Matthew was in Cleveland dressed up as the Valley Girl.
Slutbag is back.
Oh, you go, girl. So you're hanging around Cleveland.
Keep your hands like down that? Your pants, huh?
Keep your hands down.
I was hanging out in Cleveland. And I don't know. I was looking for some alleys. I found a lot of alleys and stuff to hang out in.
So the Valley Girl was hanging. You became the Alley Girl?
I became the Alley Girl. Guess what they were saying in Cleveland, everybody?
I have no idea. Why don't you educate us?
What the fuck? I turned this game on and immediately see three straight turnovers. These fans sound just like Suns fans. Like that's exactly the same thing.
That was the best part of the game, was those three consecutive turnovers. Because it was right there. The game was still kind of close. And it was like turnover, turnover, turnover. And all of a sudden, like we were up eight and we didn't look back.
Yeah. And then Mitchell, they're talking about Mitchell. Just sit him or don't sit him. Mitchell probably shouldn't even be playing tonight. Just bench him. We're playing like garbage ball anyways right now. LeVert said we're not winning tonight before. So I guess did Kelce LeVert say we're not winning? They're not going to win the game?
That's the pregame interview?
I guess so.
So LeVert, what do you think about tonight's game against the Suns? Well, we're not winning.
We ain't got win shit. At least he's honest. More honest than Bradley Beal, huh? I look like Tom Cruise or something, don't I?
You look like Valley Girl. You look like an old rocker or something.
I do.
Like, you know, you're like Kirk Hammett from Metallica.
Yeah, I always look different. I don't know. I never look like a Valley Girl. Disappointing.
You need to get like a blonde wig.
Yeah, I got a new wig. Next season. I can't just throw this one away.
You need to get like a mullet memories and just be like
Joe Dirt.
Joe Dirt.
Someone said, yep, it's rebuild time. That was me 2 games ago.
Jeez. Yeah, it was.
And then someone commented, we're a game back in second in the East. You're a clown. It's like, oh yeah, they are like way up there. It's
yeah,
so
well,
weird.
The fucking the Bucks lost tonight too. To not a
they
good
lost
team.
To the fucking motherfucking. I don't know. Wizards? Was it the Wizards?
Yeah, I don't know.
Someone terrible.
Thoughtly Crew.
That was good.
Anything else? Is that it?
Yeah, no, there's more.
Oh, please, Valley Girl.
Everyone, just be thankful that every loss is one step closer to Bickerstaff's stupid fucking ass getting fired.
Oh, my God.
Ugh, Bickerstaff. I don't even know who that is. I don't even care. I don't give a fuck. I'd rather have Darius Rucker out there. Shout out to Hootie and the Blowfish.
A Hootie reference. Didn't see that coming.
So these are the possessions by Garland that drive him crazy. We cut it to 14. Garland proceeds to miss an open jumper from the elbow. Next possession, Garland misses a floater from the side. 2 possessions later, Garland misses an easy layup. 2 possessions later, Garland dribbles it off his foot out of bounds. And now it's a 20-point game again. You fucking piece of shit missing those 2 fucking free throws.
Damn.
That was it. That was
oh great. My gosh. The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout. Yeah, I remember Garland, he single-handedly got the Suns back in the game. Shout out to Darius Garland, because they were fighting back, and all of a sudden Darius Garland's like, okay, it's my turn now. Now I get to shoot the ball. And he just he did not shoot the ball well. You should do like Suns Karen.
Suns Karen?
Just dress up like a Karen. I don't
know. It's pretty close.
Yeah. You know. What other notes did you have from the game, Matthew? I know you were writing the recap for Bright Side of the Sun. If you want to meet, read Matthew's writing, head on over there.
And if you want to meet me.
Well, if you want to meet him, he hangs out there.
Wait, do I wear this right now? No, I don't. other notes? There was a lot of Nurk. I think too much Nurk to really start the third quarter, to where they got the Suns out of funk. And Nurk was just like taking his time, backing it down, hogging the ball. Those little nasty look at the hook shots that start from his hip. There's a lot of that, too much of that. I think the Suns really moved away from Nurk offensively to rely on his points. He's now just kind of the rebounder down there and sometimes a dominant force defensively sometimes.
Yeah.
But they moved away from him, which is nice because that's only way they're going to flow. And he can do the pick and rolls. He can set up the offense if he wants.
And get the boards.
Just don't give him the ball to back it down from the three-point line.
It's okay if he does that, but I'd like for him to pass out of it. And there's a couple times where he did pass out of it, and he turned the ball over. And so, yeah, that is the challenge there.
When's the last time we talked about Nurk?
Last podcast. He was 0 for 4
tonight? Oh, okay. Did you? Okay.
We talked about. Was he 0 for 4 tonight?
He was 0 for 4 tonight, yeah, with 10 rebounds. 0 for
4, 2 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. 6
assists, which is fine. That's
fine. That's all we need, man.
Yeah.
That's a $16 million a year center. I'm okay with that. With Jared Allen down there, 100%.
Yeah.
I have in my notes, I love when Sophie Cunningham is on the broadcast and she says "we" the entire time. I love it. There's nothing more Homer. She's like, all we got to do is start doing this and start playing some. And if we do this, I'm like, yes. Like everybody else is like, the Suns. Like Eddie's like, dude, the Suns, man, you just got to cut it to 7 by the 3-minute mark. Because, you know, and she's just like, no, we need to cut it to 7. So
she laughs all the time. I love how she laughs. She's like always laughs at everything.
Yeah. She's having a good time.
Good energy. Have you ever ran into her backstage?
Uh huh.
You have?
Uh huh.
A little intimidating.
Yeah, she's bigger. She's cool though, man. She's really cool. I sat right next to her during a shoot around, and some kids were coming up and getting their autograph, and she was super sweet to them and everything. So she still knows Skylar Diggins-Smith.
What happened to her?
I don't remember.
Controversy?
Something
happened, I forget.
But she's not around, and it makes me sad.
Jam star of the game.
All right, Jam subscriber review, thumbs up. Blah, blah, blah. Who's your Jam star?
Let's give it to Book, baby.
Yeah, I don't even think that's a tough one. It's Devin Booker, 40 points.
Crazy game.
Kevin Durant, honorable mention. You know, the KD Book combination of 72 points. Now, remember, the last time that these teams played, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal combined for a total of 88 points. Tonight, it was 79 because Beal only had the 7. But again, that's the kind of things that'll give nightmares to the Cleveland Cavaliers as they walk away losing the season series to the Suns. The Suns swept them. So, Jonesen says, Sophie's the best, bigger as in tall. Yeah, she's tall. You know,
I think she's 6 feet, right?
She's probably about 6 feet.
But she wears like heels too, and she's very pretty. So, obviously, that's already intimidating. So,
yeah, well, for Matthew,
look down and be like, hi. Yeah. I'm just trying to grab some meatballs.
I just want to get some of the nacho cheese on my hot dog. Don't judge me. David Ray gives it to Katie and Devin Booker as the co jam stars of the game. Suns Fever says, jam star Booker. See Bucks the Bar. DDB.
Diamond Dallas Book.
Saul says, I love Sophie. She keeps it real. No punches pulled. Amen. Devin Armani from Juan Carlos Araneda. I just probably said that wrong, and I apologize for that. Jonesen's 40-point Haven-wearing Book. Amen. Bookie was jamming from Seth, John Tran, Booker and KD, Batman and Nightwing duo. Got it done for the Jam Star. Mike says, Super Bowl for Jam Star. I like that. Royce's 5 threes, gnarly old fat dude, gives it to him. So
I love these names.
I know,
gnarly old fat dude. Is this the first comment ever?
No, we've definitely had gnarly old fat. He's an elite
champion. I would have seen gnarly old
definitely have. You were just reading because I was talking. You were like getting ready for your next segment
today or just before?
No, just in life. Like, gnarly old fat dude, he's an elite champster, man.
What?
Yeah, you don't remember Gnarly Old Goat Dude. It's Gnarly Old Goat Dude.
Oh, okay. That makes
sense. Oh, yeah. You're like, Gnarly Old Goat Dude. Not Gnarly Old Fat Dude. My bad. My bad. You're not a fat dude. You're a goat dude. Bah. Next game for the Suns, Friday, playing the Minnesota Timberwolves. Obviously, a team that is without Carl Anthony Towns. You all right there, bud?
It's just so funny. Because the whole time I'm reading them, I keep seeing fat. Because I believe you.
I don't know.
Wait, what? Okay, now I get it.
I'm dyslexic. I shouldn't read any of the comments. I am. Like, I'm OCD and dyslexic. I don't know how I function. But again, the Minnesota Timberwolves, who played Toronto today, did they win or lose? I assume they won.
You know what? I don't know. I had the
they won 133-85. Good lord, that's pretty good. A team that has the third net rating in the league, the best defense in the league by net rating and opposing points per game. A team that, gosh, I feel like have we only played them once? Yeah, and we beat them. I remember us beating them, but yeah, we play them twice. We play them on Friday. We play them Sunday, April 14th, which is, I believe, the last game of the season. So, you know, a team that's kind of got some Ewing theory going on. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They're 9-2 in their last 11 games, and a lot of those are without Carl Anthony Towns. They are a team that, I mean, there's definitely some Ewing theory going on there, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're just very dominant defensively. That can really carry them. And then Anthony Edwards is just like how he goes, his team goes now. There's a lot to carry now without Cat being there. But I think the only way that the Suns team really has a chance, if they were to match with them in the first round, is kind of just, you know, play Gobert off the court. That was my favorite thing in Utah. Play him off the court. Best defensive player, probably will win defensive player of the year again this year. But kind of play him off the court, see what you can do. You're not going to get the Bol Bol matchup that I want.
No.
But I really do think Anthony Edwards can be the answer, but I don't know if it's this year or not. I think he – see, now that I'm saying that, I can just –
He's early.
Off.
He's early. I mean, he could go off, but, I mean, he's early.
Go off and just, early. Like, dunk over the Suns.
I mean, I just broke my back scratcher, dude.
Yeah, I saw that, man.
Makes me sad.
Can you imagine having Bol Bol's arms and you just can scratch anything on your body? Yeah. Jeez. What's that like, dude?
I don't know. That's why I have a back scratcher.
You know, yeah, it's kind back. Of the same thing, right?
Now I just have like a long pole. It's like, I feel like a conductor. I'm like, la, na, 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 da, 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 da,
da, da, da. I think the Timberwolves had a chance. I did. I was like, yeah, I think they still have one of the best players in the league and they have a great
team. Oh, yeah.
It's like,
they absolutely, yeah. They do. Absolutely. They
yeah,
do.
I wasn't worried when they lost them.
I'm interested to see the result of this game. I want to see how the Suns perform. I mean, that's every game right now. So I'm not going to predict wins or losses.
This will be a good one, though.
This will be a good one. This will be a good one. And, you know, going mano a mano, he will be guarding Devin Booker. It's going to be very, very entertaining. So I see all the jamsters. They're saying, I want to rock. What rocks, yeah. John?
Oh, yeah. I forgot already.
So this is totally just like a conversation between me and Matthew, so everyone else can leave. But everyone's like, what rocks? Not much. So, you know the Black Keys, right?
Yeah.
You know, I like
September 14th or 16th?
26th.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're coming to town. And I love the Black Keys. I've never seen the Black Keys in person. So today they have a new album dropping on Friday, and today their pre-sale went on for that concert, and so I was super excited for it. Got some tickets. You know, I'm going to be going with my wife and my brother and one of my really good friends, you know, a bunch of Black Keys people who are just going to enjoy that show. And you know, I forget who said it on Twitter, but they're like, oh, did you know that they're playing here this weekend? And I say, what? Because March Madness is in town here in Phoenix, Arizona, they're doing a free concert.
The free show.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it's Leon Bridges, who I love. And then you have somebody else who I don't know, but a coworker knows. And then you have the Black Keys and then Mumford & Sons.
Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah. And it's Sunday night. You know, so that's why I won't be on the pod on Sunday, because the Sunday game's at 3, which means it ends at like 5:10. And the Black Keys and the Black Keys go on at 6:30. So, like, do you want to go and just, you know, fuck the pod?
I would love to see Mumford and Sons. I love Mumford and Sons.
Yeah. And they play at 8:30.
So is it at the park? Because last time they were here, they had the Aerosmith one. I went to the one where I think it was Group Love, which was maybe 8 years back. I went to the Group Love one.
Okay.
That was fun. That was a free concert that one time. Yeah, I'll think about it.
Yeah, let me know, because I mean, again, it's a Sunday. And the Mumford will be done playing about 10 p.m. They said that everything kind of closes down at 10, but still, like, I don't care. Like, I've never seen Mumford, which I love Mumford. I've never seen the Black Keys, and now I'm going to see them twice potentially in the same year. And parking sucks, but it's like right over by my work. So we can just park at my work, take the light rail for like a half mile down there. Mm-hmm. Dude, that fucking rocks.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very excited. So think that over. And Jamsters, if we don't go live at all on Sunday, now you know. Or maybe we'll go live from the concert for like 10 minutes like we did when we were in Vegas.
Yeah, we can do that.
We can do that. That'd be fun.
We go live everywhere.
We do.
Yeah, and I was just thinking
In the Port-a-John, like just sitting there sweating, just live in a Port-a-John somewhere.
Oh, yeah. No, that sounds fun, dude. That sounds fun.
Think about it. All right. And Mike... Mike says, so does Billy Joel suck? Billy Joel doesn't suck, but I fucking will always hold a grudge against that motherfucker because I missed watching the Suns play the Kings because I couldn't find parking downtown because he was playing Chase Field this season. I will forever hold a grudge against Billy Joel. And I love the Piano Man. I love that, you know, the Piano Man. I went through a whole Billy Joel stage when I was like just out of high school. I was like 19. And like, he has a song where it has like all my friends in it's on all my friends names. And it's like, you know, John at the bar is a friend of mine and he gives me my drinks for free. He's quick with a joke and to light up your smoke, but there's someplace that he'd rather be. God, that was the story of my life forever, you know? And there's Dave is in there and it's like, and Dave is practicing politics with a businessman slowly gets stoned. They're sharing a drink, they call loneliness, but it's better than drinking alone. Well, they have a song to close to end where we began. They have a song, you know, about, you know, only the good die young, right? It's like, come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. Ah, but sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Because only the good die young. It's about hooking up with Catholic girls.
The piano?
No, that's how you dance.
That's how you dance. I thought you were playing the piano.
just tell them to go home and love their family already. I'll keep singing all night.
Go home and love your family.
And he's drinking with Davey, who's still in the Navy, and probably will be blind.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.